going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, he didn't just give you stock answers. He gave you good in-depth stuff on the football field, how he fits, what they did at Michigan, where I kind of said earlier in the show, you know, they don't just give him pass rush opportunity after pass rush opportunity. It is a lot more of a, you know, C-gap, plug-gap kind of defense. That's not what he's going to do here. Lou said something very, very similar to that, and I love the line, just put on the tape. Because I think that's, if you really watch Mason Graham, there's no way you don't come away thinking this dude's an ass-kicker and a name-taker.
No, and yeah, but he was right in the idea that he's very unassuming when you see Mason Graham not on a football field.
But isn't that the most football guy thing?
That's really wild, because he just kind of looks like a, I don't know, you could find that kid just walking down the street in Parma.
He looks like he's Jax Gregory's, like, big best friend.
100%. He's got the same hairstyle. He's got, what are we calling this? Like, the goat? What is that?
What did we say earlier? It's not goatee, because goatee has the mustache.
Yeah.
Soul patch. Not soul patch.
I thought you called it, like, a goat patch or something.
No. I don't know. We'll get back to that, but
we'll figure out his facial hair.
But he's totally nondescript. Even when you hear him talk,
he doesn't look very intimidating. But he's just kind of there.
I felt the same thing about Will Campbell, another just football dude out of LSU.
That's what it is. You're getting a football guy.
Last night, and I just think, like, I've heard
now,
this.
It's tough though, but that is tough when you're juxtaposing, you know,
Flash.
Yeah, versus I'm watching videos of Travis Hunter striking the Heisman pose and then taking the helmet off of the table and putting it on his head and being about, like, the goofiest human being you've ever seen. But there's a difference. Last night there was a chance for a lot of splash and posh, you know, posh and circumstance and all that stuff, and we didn't get that.
I just think there's this this counter narrative that goes to why Mason Graham was a bad pick, or what the Mason Graham pick moves. It's not a win now move. Guys, neither was Travis Hunter. There's one win now move in the NFL. It's trade for a quarterback. So the only other win now move are make your roster more complete. So in and of itself, if you need skill players and you add a defensive tackle, which you also needed, okay, I can understand why you might look at that and say not a win now move. If only there were like a day two of the draft or day three of the draft where such skilled players were readily available.
No, but I do think there was a lot of fans that were holding out the idea that if you took Travis Hunter at 2 and then you took a quarterback at 33, whatever, wherever and whenever you want to take him, you're at least giving the offense a chance in many ways.
But is there any difference from taking Mason Graham at 5 and Luther Burden at 33 than taking Travis Hunter at 2 and taking Tyreek Williams at 33?
Yeah, there's a lot. One didn't win the Heisman.
Well, but that doesn't mean they're going to be better NFL players.
By the way, we don't even know that that's the plan. We don't even know that they're going to take Burden.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's no difference. Like, if your first two picks, you address two big needs, one of which is defensive tackle, best player available, and the other is wide receiver, and does it matter the order of operations?
I think it matters a lot, yeah, I do. One won the Heisman and is supposed to be generational. One was getting comped to Justin Jefferson. Like, yeah, I think the order does matter there, in my opinion.
I mean, we've had second-round wide receivers that end up being better than the guys in the first round. I guess there's a specificity and a certainty with which this Travis Hunter stuff is talked about that I just miss me. Guys, there was nothing they could do that would have made me feel like they're in win now mode. And they shouldn't. That's not where they are. They just have so many holes. And it's not even just about this year. It's about the 3-year window. Like when they walked in, you look at that roster. All right, that guy's going to be here for the next 3 years. This guy's going to be here. Baker's going to be here for the next 3 years. Not quite. Nick Chubb, Myles Garrett. You run down that roster. You had a bunch of guys that were going to be here for the next 3 years. Myles Garrett, yeah. He'll be 32 then. Maybe JOK? Like, right, probably not Wyatt Teller. Start running through this roster. This roster has massive flaws. There was no win now mode last year.
There's definitely a difference between taking Travis Hunter and then trading back into the first round and getting Shedeur Sanders and ending up with what Joe Thomas called a Brown Super Bowl dream. A much different approach to the upcoming season than what it currently is right now, where it just kind of sits like, okay, are they going to win 3 wins? Are they going to win 4? Are they going to win 5? Like,
there's
an obvious cap on what they're going to be able to do.
So
this
are people
year.
More pissed about Travis Hunter? Are they more pissed they don't think they're going to take a quarterback today?
I don't think they're more pissed about not taking a quarterback today. I just think they're more pissed about the reality that it doesn't look like they're headed towards 2025 mattering towards anything outside of figuring out what the quarterback is going to be in 2026.
I mean, I think if you take a wide receiver with one of the next 4 picks, I think if you take a running back with one of a tight end, I think you're still just as close as you would have been if you just took a wide receiver at the number 2 pick. I think like the order of operations, if you got 5 top 100 picks, the order of operations doesn't necessarily matter. In terms of if it's 1 defensive player and 4 offensive players, which I think it could be, I think there should be an offensive.
What matters to where you're putting the weight? I mean, the weight of the picks then, the difference between Travis Hunter and Mason Graham and even Travis Hunter and Burton is massive.
We'll see. I mean, theoretically, maybe. But, you know, Luther Burton could end up being the better wide receiver. He could end up just being a really good wide receiver. This finality. Listen. If some of this is the Browns aren't going to win next year, yeah. And if that's just the disappointment of it,
isn't that the plan? Isn't that what they basically sold you last night?
I mean, I don't know if they'll ever say that, but yeah, that's. But I think my point is, if some of the reaction to this is just, well, we're coming to terms with the fact that this is going to be a lost year. I get it. I've been there for 4 months, but I get it. But like, guys, to me, I don't think this is necessarily tanking. I don't think this is a 5-year journey. Like, this is set up that this year is about building out the rest of the roster and then letting guys play, develop, and figuring who the hell these guys are. And with a guy like Joe Flacco, a fail-safe of like, well, he's to a specific level that he can let guys around him. He's not so bad that it's going to stunt the development of, like, your wide receivers, your tight ends, your running backs, your O-line, like Deshaun was. So, like, that could be 3 wins. It could be 6 wins. But I don't look at this and go, oh, man, we are so screwed. Like, I got questions about Andrew Berry just like everybody else. I got questions about Kevin Stefanski. I have a question on whether Jimmy Haslam's really going to let these guys stick around for 1 more year.
Yeah.
But, like, I expect to win in 2026. All right? And as long as this plan goes,
next year
you get the quarterback, I expect to – and winning is not winning a Super Bowl. But I expect to be a competitive, at least league average team again by 2026, because that's where this thing should go. All you have to do is not muck up these draft picks.
Yes, but with all but certainty, we got 2025 ahead of us still. And in 2025, it just seems like it's not going to be a lot of fun, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of wins.
I mean, I think they're still going to be competitive. I think they might be the most competitive 3-win team you might have.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Okay, great.
Well, no, I mean, the point is, we saw a lot of teams in the mid-teens that were not competitive at all. That, I mean, Joe Thomas talked about the only time in his career, he was in pregame looking across the field, and he knew he couldn't compete with them. That shouldn't be the case here.
Okay,
this
but
is
I mean,
not
you
those
described
teams.
It as a competitive 3-win team. I mean, it's just not fun for anybody.
Well,
it isn't.
It's better than getting blown out every game. It's better than the tank wars.
Yes, you're right. It's better than 1-31, but it's still a 3-win team at the end of the day. I think it's okay for the fans to be upset for a little bit and then have to turn the page eventually. And also, I do understand a lot of the fans that don't believe that Andrew Berry's ever going to pay good on what this process is. But the only thing that is guaranteed is that next year is going to be real rough for a lot of people.
216-474-0092. John Fanta does join us, come up at 420. But Jacob, joining us now. Jacob, when do you expect the Browns to win again? What do you think about the Mason Graham pick?
Honestly, I think that if we go back to our base offense that, you know, Kevin Stansky had initially brought in, because last year, you know, the offense that we implemented for Deshaun just wasn't cutting it. We weren't suited for that. Offensive line wasn't doing the normal zone run scheme. I think that we can be competitive this year, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 wins, I'm guessing at this point. I know you guys are saying 3 wins. It just depends. I mean, let's get some offensive firepower in this or first 2 picks. I think that we need to get a running back, need to get a tight end and or a wide receiver initially. I don't want to get a quarterback initially, but initially yesterday when we traded the pick, I was not happy. I was just, you know, had a few drinks in me, and I said to myself, told Barrett not to, he did it anyway, miss me, Haven.
It was a big buildup.
Yeah.
And you're the one guy you could say that to and be like, you know what? It's a righteous gemstones. We're cool.
Yeah, it is an F-off Friday. I will let all of that pass. And it's not a half-bad Uncle Baby Billy while we're at it.
I kind of wanted him to keep going. I would have let him go for as long as he would actually sing the song.
I thought about it, and then it was like, all right, if we are only letting this happen because we watched the Righteous Gemstones, there should probably be a cap.
I do feel like we needed that too, because you almost you tried selling me on a competitive 3-win season, and I almost lost it, and that brought us back home.
When at the end, their diff is even. It's 0. All right?
When
their plus minus
are we back
is
to
0.
Are we back to Cavs talk now?
When their diff is 0 and they're a 3-win team, you'll thank me. Ben in Garfield Heights, real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, guys. Of all the top players available, the first 5 are defense. Any chance we go defense with these 2 picks, take the DB from Michigan, maybe that edge from Marshall, or the DB from South Carolina. Thanks, guys. Love you.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. Yes, and I think people are going to be really pissed if it happens.
I mean, I wondered, can they take Mike Green? And we talked about the character stuff, and we can get into that a little bit too, but can they take another part of the defensive line? When we have no offense at all, can they do that?
Yes, they can. Can they take Nick Emmanuel? Yes, they can.
But that's the beautiful part about what the recognition of last night was, in that if 2025 is going to stink, I've been telling you for weeks, whole asset, don't half asset, take the best players, do what you got to do, and get ready for 2026. But it's just, it doesn't make it any easier. And I hate the idea that people want me to smile and be happy about this whole thing. I don't want to be happy about having another bad season. It stinks. Last season stunk.
I don't think you have to be happy.
This season seems like it's going to stink. I'm just kind of mad about it.
I think for once, the Browns aren't polishing a turd. I can accept, like, that to me is a good moment to be a Browns fan. When they stop just PR spinning every damn thing they do to be something else that it's not. And you, and I'm for once am relieved not to sit here and have to point through what are obvious PR handling of situations. I am happy about. 216-474-0092. John Fanta, college basketball on Fox, Cleveland fan. Get his take on Mason Graham, and he has an intriguing hypothetical for us in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. A goatee without a mustache is commonly called a chin puff.
Oh, man. That sounds like a cutesy nickname that somebody would give you if you're like, if you looked like Mason Graham. It's like, oh, you chin puff, you. Yeah, my little chin puff.
A chin beard.
Ugh.
A chin strap, which I don't think is, I've seen Amish beard, but I think that's different, or a Shenandoah, excuse me.
Okay.
So I think he's got to shave his face now.
Yeah, he's got, it's a bad look. And when nobody shaves his face, he looks just like the kid from The Sandlot.
And that's a bad thing?
I think that's a bad thing. I don't like the adult version of the kid from The Sandlot, not actually the...
If that kid grew up and kicked everybody's ass. Speaking of an ass kicker and a name taker, he joins us every week. We usually get into this earlier this week. We had a crazy week with all the draft stuff. Well, Cleveland's own John Fanta, you know him, you love him, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, if you found out the facial hair that you were sporting was called a chin puff, would you just shave that bad boy off?
Yeah, it would come off. Although I'm envious of anybody I could never grow a beard, guys. Like, it just was never happening. I mean, even when I was in high school, I'm looking around class and I'm like, I'm not going to touch this when I'm 30. So
that's when you gave up, was in high school? I couldn't grow
just
a beard.
As you're hitting puberty, you're like, I don't got it, guys.
Yeah, just stop while you're ahead. Stop while you're ahead, fellas. That's where I was. Yes, I would probably shave that off. But knowing us, whatever Mason Graham wants to do with his facial hair, there'll be T-shirts made up. You know, it'll happen around our parts, no question about it.
So you said you have an intriguing hypothetical for JP and I today. We want to get to the bottom of this one.
Well, the hypothetical actually doesn't entail anything tonight. We could play that game maybe later in the call. But hypothetically speaking, I'm asking everybody listening to your show right now for a moment to take a step back. To me, the reaction off last night wasn't just because there was a good majority of people infatuated and enamored with Travis Hunter, but the reaction off of last night, the negative reaction off of what I felt was a very smart football move in which you only move down three picks in the current draft. You got a second rounder in this draft. You're set up for tonight. You get a fourth rounder and you get another first rounder, which is going to be a top 15 pick next year. It's going to be. At worst, the Jaguars are an okay team. Okay. I don't think they'll be very good, but okay. Remove Andrew Berry. Remove the brass.
Okay. I can do that right now.
Don't think about them. Don't think about that. Don't think about them and their track record and what they've done. If you look at the move itself, and I know what your feelings are, but I'm challenging the listeners out there. If you look at the football move itself, remove who's been making the picks. I know that's not the world we live in, but is it the smart move? To me, if you are sitting there and you are saying that move was not smart, in which I felt the Jaguars gave up too much draft capital. And in a rebuild for them, where they have the Jaguars, even with Travis Hunter, still have a whole bevy of unknowns compared to knowns about their organizational future. You make that trade for a franchise quarterback. You don't make that trade for a wide receiver or corner. I don't care how big the horn is on his unicorn horse. To me, if you look at this situation, this was smart football. Remove the track record. Remove what's next. Look at it in the bottle that it's meant to be looked at. That was a smart move last night by the Cleveland Browns.
And then there might be some people who care about how big his horn is.
We just got to figure out how big the horn is.
Guess what, though? It doesn't matter. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. I understand that people are saying, you know, it was staring them in the face and they needed to take him. What? I know why you guys are laughing. Listen.
You got to stop, man.
Listen. You guys have had a long week. I understand the people out there who were obviously, very excited about the idea of having Travis Hunter. And since you don't have him, if you're upset about that, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how you should feel. Here's what I do know. Had the Cleveland Browns gotten Travis Hunter, they'd still be a back half of the NFL team. And with the Cleveland Browns not getting Travis Hunter and getting Mason Graham, they're still going to be a back half of the National Football League team this upcoming season. But these are the repercussions of making the worst transaction in league history. And when you do that, you are on a 2 to 3 year plan. That's the reality of the situation. So when people last night were like, well, they're admitting that this upcoming season, that they're not trying to win at a high level. Newsflash, wake up. They weren't going to win much of anything to begin. And when I say much of anything, like, okay, you want to talk about between what, 6 and 10 games? Fine. Like, if you want to talk about that, that's great. I'm talking about what the end game is in the National Football League, Cleveland. The end game is to win a championship with or without Travis Hunter. The Cleveland Browns are not winning their division, and they are not contending for a title next year, nor coming close to that. You gotta play the long game. Now, if you want to say the people who are involved in the building shouldn't be getting second and third chances to play that long game, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you on that, because I think your argument is fair on that. But when we look at where this organization is right now, they need to bolster draft capital, and they need to look for where they're going to find their quarterback of the future. And let's accept reality here. Chances are they're not finding that quarterback of the future this draft. They're finding it in next draft. So you had to benefit yourself to do that. And that's what they did last night.
Yeah, the only thing I would push back on, and listen, Nick obviously was very much in favor of what happened last night. I was not mad or angry about any bit of it, but I did think that fans are allowed just a little bit of a grace period here to understand that, like, Travis Hunter would have been fun. And, like, watching football and pouring your time and your effort into it, there is a fun factor into all of this. And Mason Graham, again, great player, great everything. Not nearly as fun as Travis Hunter is. And if you don't believe that Andrew Berry is the right person to take the selections and actually do the right thing with them anyway, then I'd at least like to be entertained next year a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what, Jonathan? I understand that viewpoint. I do. But my thought process is this. Okay, then that's the goal, is to be entertained? You know, This organization, for the people who are like, well, they always think that they're throughout the history of the Browns, throughout the last quarter century, now these are different regimes, you know, they've always thought they're smarter or whatnot. They've also gone for the entertaining move. They've gone for the flashy move. And how's that worked out for them, right? From Johnny Football to, oh, we're going to think outside the box and go and get Brandon Whedon, to, you know, the misses that they've had where they've... And the Phil Taylor comp, please, get off my lawn with that. That is a ridiculous comparison with the Julio Jones thing. Like, that has no bearing on what they did last night. And the fact is they picked a guy at number five who was a terrific value in that slot and is going to be a pro and a long-term pro who's going to perform at a high level and I think gets it. And, I mean, just hearing that interview with the defensive line coach from Michigan, it's pretty clear how beloved Mason Graham is and how much of a fit he can be. So I get the whole idea that Travis Hunter would have been fun. We need to see it too. You know, I want to see what it looks like. I mean, okay, so Jacksonville Jaguar fans, I don't know. We know this much. Cleveland Browns fan base is 10 times better.
I was
going to
say all seven of them, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That whole gathering. I mean, Is it going to be fun to watch him play football? Sure. And would the Browns, you know, benefit in jersey sales and branding and all that by taking Hunter? Of course, sure. But guys, I do think you have to look at the picture here, and the picture today is bleak for where this organization currently stands. And when it's bleak, you've got to increase your chances of being able to hit the home run. And the fact is, if they pick a quarterback tonight or they don't, my personal belief, right, like if you want to go and take a quarterback, go ahead, because it's a quarterback league. But whoever you take, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to take one when you know what the cards are heading into next year. If they take one, I'm not going to be mad or upset about it. I myself have and Nick can rip me for flip-flopping, but when I came on your show first appearance, I want to say February, I really did like Shedeur Sanders. As each day and week passed, there's no question that the 31 other National Football League teams have been turned off to this kid and this circle and the family and the father. I don't want to get involved in that circus. We've seen these circuses from Johnny Football on down. I don't want any part of that circus. It just adds a distraction. It just adds a morning show first take topic where Deion says something in the press. Do you think the Browns want to get involved in that again? If they do, that does make me kind of scratch my head and say, man, I mean, I guess they saw the value here in the talent, but what did they see that apparently several other teams were not willing to bet on? Because it's a quarterback-driven league. And you would have thought if there were much appeal there to Shador, somebody would have jumped in and gotten him at the end of that first round. And clearly, nobody wanted him. And he might not even be the next quarterback taken on the board. He might not be.
John, when it comes to Shador Sanders, is there any point, is there any depths to which the Shadrop can go where if it's at 94, if he's there, will you change your mind on it?
Nick, I got to be honest with you, probably not. Because for me, like, do I want to be the outlier? Do I want to be the butt of jokes? You know right now, let's be honest with ourselves. You know right now if the Browns are the ones to take him, they're going to be like, oh, there it is. There's Cleveland trying to be the smart guys, trying to be different, trying to be creative and unique and whatnot. And they went ahead and took him, and this is a match made in hell. I mean, that's what the narrative's going to be. And then this kid, you know, the things that have come out in the recent weeks about him, about his time at Colorado, the whole jersey retirement thing, I think only hurts him. Let's face it, guys, he shouldn't be getting his jersey retired at Colorado. It's ridiculous. It is. I know that dad controls everything, but that elephant in the room is real. Of Deion and the narratives and the amount of talk that surrounds him. So, to be honest with you, no. I would not take if they trade one of these early second round picks. I know people are mad at this, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went ahead and did that. If I'm the Cleveland Browns tonight, I start this second round off, whether it's a 33, 36, however, one of those picks has to be on a running back, in my humble opinion, based on where you're at. And I would take Trevion Henderson out of Ohio State. That's what I would do tonight. And then from there, you know, what you want to do, look, there's a wide variety of things that you could do. We know Andrew Berry likes secondary players, and there's a couple of them, from a Will Johnson to a Mamori out of South Carolina, to Siobhan Revell out of East Carolina. Like, there are some options there. But I don't think I would say, Nick, no to the Shador thing. However, with a quarterback, like, if Milroe's still out there as the third round begins, let's just say that scenario ends up being the case. I know that the Louisville quarterback, Shaw, keeps getting brought up now in discussions that he could actually be the first of this group to go. That's been picking up a ton of steam today. If they go ahead and take somebody there in the third round at quarterback, they're gonna take a quarterback at some point. I'm fine with that. I think there's a lot of talent, and the Browns have a lot of holes to fill here. And I think that there's other ways they can fill those holes and to start the second round with these two of the first four picks.
Whew, when you said elephant in the room, I thought you were going to go on another rant about the horn on the unicorn horse again.
I thought he was going to use the unicorn horn to fill those holes.
I mean, that's one way you could do it.
you guys are special. I mean, that's why I love joining you every week. Look, I understand for me, you make that trade if you're trying to go after your generational quarterback. That's just my humble opinion. If I were Jacksonville doesn't even know what their quarterback situation is going to look like a year from now. You know, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is any good, to be candidly honest with you guys. Like, I don't think he's rediscovering magic. He's not a top 15 quarterback in this league right now. I take 15 guys in this league over him. He's a massive question mark, a massive mystery. You gave up capital. You gave up your first round pick for next year, where in a quarterback heavy draft, you could potentially find the next answer to your franchise. You said last night goodbye to that, giving that to a team that we know for a fact a year from now, the Cleveland Browns hold the keys to the car in the 2026 draft. And I understand there's people out there. I heard on the morning show this morning, Ken Anthony and Brian Hoyer on him. Look, I love Brian. But, you know, a lot of people at the top, well, they're just punting on 2025. They're punting on it. Guys, it's like, acknowledge the reality of the situation. This football team is not going to get 11 or 12 wins this upcoming season. They're probably going to be sitting somewhere, I'm going to say, somewhere around 6 or 7 wins. And maybe I'm being a little positive there, but, like, that's the more that you acknowledge where this team is and the fact that this had to be a multi-year rebuild. Now, the thing that I'd be concerned about, if I were Andrew, theory is that it is the Cleveland Browns, and that if this upcoming year goes as poorly as it looks like it may, will he even be able to utilize the picks that he acquired in his trade? Will he be the one to use them a year from now in the draft? Like, that question ran through my mind last night in a big way.
John, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you, and go Browns.
Go Browns, guys. We're going to find out a lot about what the brass in that room think about the quarterback position in this draft very early on tonight. I myself am not enamored by that thought. We'll see what they do. Take a running back. I'd say take Henderson out of Ohio State.
That's a good
response. There were so many good Fanta drops in there. We do have Mason Graham's press conference coming up at some point in the 5 o'clock hour. Still trying to figure out, is that going to be closer to 5, maybe 5:15? So we're excited to have that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Slater and Zers. Experience you need, results you want. And in kind of listening to John talk about the trade, he said something about the Jacksonville thing that I just kind of instinctively accepted. I don't think Trevor Lawrence stinks, but I do think that team is a work in progress and they've got a rookie head coach. I think the Jacksonville part of this and the fact that they are one of the organizations in the NFL that you can honestly say is far worse than the Cleveland Browns, I think the fact that they could also stink gives me a lot of hope that's going to be a valuable asset to use if you need to trade up for a quarterback next year.
I'm a little torn. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is great. I fall in love with what he was in college, which isn't great. I think we all do at times. But this, clearly, the Hunter move was made with the idea that they're going to try to give Trevor Lawrence every chance to succeed. Like, they really want to make sure that he stinks. Yeah. This is how a lot of people end up getting fired, Nick, is making these big type of moves, and then turns out the quarterback, not great at being a quarterback, and it doesn't matter anyway.
This reminds me, now this is different because, you know, Trevor's going on, what, year 5, year 6 right now? But this reminds me a lot of the Panthers trading up for Bryce Young and giving up the next year's first-round pick. Now, the difference was Bryce Young was a rookie quarterback. I mean, they traded for the number one pick so then they could get Bryce Young. But, I mean, if you kind of look at how things fell out there, that setback Bryce Young, not having that future first-round pick, and when Bryce Young stunk, you gave away a hugely valuable pick. I'm not expecting the Jags pick to be number one next year. It also wouldn't surprise me if it was top 5 or top 10.
I guess it really could go both ways. Like an alternate timeline, it's as if the Browns would have paid Baker Mayfield, and then after they paid Baker Mayfield, was like, oh, we need to get him more weapons now, don't we? And you really, it's a sunken cost theory in many respects, but they're in too deep now. And the sad part, though, or the odd part, is that Gladstone, their GM, just got the job. Like, he didn't have to be in too deep. He is now tying his entire job to the idea that Trevor Lawrence is good at football and that Travis Hunter is as advertised.
So he's 34, but he looks 12. He just doesn't know
it's
yet.
It's a bad circumstance.
The world hasn't
for him.
Punished him yet. He'll come around.
No, he came from the Rams.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cockiness attached to him coming to the Rams and thinking, ep those picks. That's clearly all this was. This was complete. I hung out with Les Snead for a decade, and I think I know what I'm doing.
Don't you know I've been to 2 Super Bowls in my career?
Like, I just hang out for a training camp. Maybe figure out who's on your roster first.
So, we got Mason Graham coming up. I will say, because we're going to get into more of a formal winners and losers, because I really did think last night's draft was a home run. Like, just from the
was
content
your dream draft.
Of it. Well, not even from that. I mean, just I thought there were a lot of really intriguing things to come out of this draft. But I thought specific to Michigan and Ohio State men, last night was a great win. Like, Jim Harbaugh got a quintessential Jim Harbaugh player in O'Marion Hampton.
He took our guy.
He did. It infuriated me.
We've been talking about him at 33 for it's been months. Every time you're like, who do you want at 33? I'm like, Hampton.
And when he didn't go to Denver, I thought, oh, it's happening. We're going to get him.
Now, the moment Albert Breer comped him to Nick Chubb is the moment I knew we lost him.
That's probably fair. Well, but think about it. Last year, it was Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Prototypical Jim Harbaugh play. Jim Harbaugh might actually be as good as any coach in the NFL at just being like, that's my kind of player. Take that guy.
And you think
and I can
about it. He took Alt at a time when everyone was like, "You need to take a wide receiver."
Yep.
And then I obviously ended up taking McConkey. He got there, but like everyone's like, "Take a wide receiver." He took Alt, and it changed the franchise in a positive way.
But I think Vrabel the same way. By the way, good night for Tyleek Williams going in the first round, a 28th pick to Detroit in a spot. I think he can be good right out of the gate. But I mean, Vrabel. yet again, like Harbaugh, is there a more Mike Vrabel-type football player than Will Campbell?
Yeah, it was a good pick. It's odd because even them, and that's why they went and got Stephon Diggs, though, is they needed to make sure if they had no chance at Travis Hunter, they had some sort of wide receiver, some sort of weapon, and then you get the tackle on the line. How about Abuka?
I will say, I don't think he's worth the 19th pick, but good for the kid. And but
good for Baker.
That's it. Well, it's a great spot for the kid. It's great for Baker because that kid walks in as the third wide receiver at best, so he doesn't have the huge pressure on him. They also have a fourth kid. They have Evans and Godwin, and then Abuka. There's another kid, a rising kid from last year. I forgot his name that they have as well. I mean, good gravy. Good for Emeka Abuka. That's a dude that ate.
It's a good spot for him.
That's a dude who took a lot of like step backs for his team and never really craved the spotlight. I don't think a slot receiver, which is what I think he is worth the 19th pick. But good on the kid.
You know what they said about him, though, is that, and I think this is true, he's the type of player that rose like 15 picks from the end of the season into the whole draft process just because he was awesome in interviews and he was just great to be around and everything else associated with him. Like, just a great kid.
216-474-0092. The Mason Graham presser coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. More of you guys, Michael, Larry, Tom, coming up in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.